God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Beginning today and continuing through Thursday, Brother Hutchings will be visiting with Dr. Grant Jeffrey about information in Brother Grant's newest book, Shadow Government. He's an internationally known prophecy expert from Canada and has written a number of books and has his own weekly television program. Brother Grant is no stranger to those who listen to this program. He's been on it many times in the past. Brother Hutchings, you've known Brother Grant for a while now. How long has it been?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Grant goes back about 20 years with this program. I think it was back in 1990 when we bumped into Grant, and he's done some tremendous books. And you see Grant on TV, and he's on the radio, and my goodness, Brother Grant, you keep busy, don't you?
I do indeed, and it does go back 20 years, and we've had a wonderful relationship. We've traveled together to prophecy conferences. We've done probably a series of radio interviews on virtually every one of the 26 books that God has inspired me to research and write. So we have been really ministers together of the Word of God, especially concerning prophecy.
Yes, indeed. And I am absolutely fascinated with this new book you've written, Shadow Government. But Grant, why did you write this latest book, Shadow Government? And I know what it means to me, but what are you suggesting in your book about the nature of our present government?
Well, it's fascinating in the Bible, Noah, to note that in both Daniel and Revelation specifically, there are very strong indications prophetically in the words of those great prophets of God that in the last generation when Christ will return, that government will be very, very different than what it has been throughout thousands of years of human history. Both Daniel and Revelation clearly indicate that it will be a global government. Revelation and Daniel talk about the fact that the whole world will worship this man, this world dictator. Revelation 13 says the whole world will worship the beast that has the wound by the sword, dies, and yet lives again. Daniel tells us the same thing. And world government has been something that has never, ever really occurred in history. While there have been very important empires that have ruled much of the known world, true world government has never existed before. But for the first time in history, as I document, we're not only rapidly moving toward world government, both in a public but also in a very secret way, but on top of that, Revelation 13 tells us that there will be a worldwide surveillance system in the generation when Christ returns, which you and I both and many others believe may well be our generation, and that this worldwide population surveillance system will be one in which no one can literally escape. No one will be able to buy and sell, work, or do anything unless they bear allegiance publicly to this man, this global dictator, who will, during the last 3.5 years leading to Armageddon, claim that he is God on earth. This man and his partner, the false prophet, Revelation clearly says, will introduce a totalitarian, worldwide, global population control system that if you worship him as God, and this will be after the rapture when God has removed all true Christians to heaven, but those people living in that terrible period will be faced with a horrible situation if they worship this man after he's assassinated and rises from the dead 3.5 years before Armageddon. They will get a mark, a name, and a number, and it will be implanted in their right hand or forehead. This mark will bear the number 666 in some manner. And if they have it, they can buy and sell, they can work, they can live. If they do not, if they don't publicly worship him as God, then they have two choices: death as martyrs, or to flee to the hills and try and survive until Christ comes. Now, never before in human history, Noah, has it been really practical that a global government could exist until today. Never before has it been even foreseeable how a population, totalitarian control, police system could exist, such as is described in the book of Revelation. But now, as I demonstrate in the book, Shadow Government, we are moving into that world in which true global government is literally at the door. And the technology to provide a way to surveil the entire population of Earth now exists technologically and is in fact being implemented. I'm not saying the mark of the beast is here because it won't exist until 3.5 years after the rapture. But the technology, I believe, may very well come into existence economically, financially, before the Antichrist and his partner utilize it for population control.
Yes, Brother Grant, you're talking about the world government, a world system. Of course, a world system has to come before such a world universal program of buying and selling marks and numbers and as projected in the Bible can come about. And for the United Nations, here's a remark or a statement by our president when the United Nations came together recently. It says, "The time has come for the world to move in a new direction. It is an era where our destiny is shared power and no longer zero game. No world order can elevate one nation or group of people above the other." And as you remember, this last December, Mr. Kitchener said the time is now for world government, and he thought that President Obama would make a good world leader, or a good head of the new world government. So we certainly live in interesting times, as you write in your book, when such a system is possible now. But how have governments in this generation become hidden, or in a way, as you bring out, a shadow government? Can you explain what you mean by shadow government and how this is coming about?
Well, that's a good question. When we look at power, political, national power in the past, it has always been very, very prominent. Kings and presidents, prime ministers have been extremely well known, and no one had any question as to who was in charge of a particular country. But we're moving into what I call shadow government, where the real power is hidden in the shadows. And let me explain what I mean by that. In the past, you had a situation where a president or a king was known to everyone. There was no question as to who was making the laws, who was making the decisions that affected the population. But as a result of a number of factors, technological but also the development of weapons of mass destruction, government has moved into the shadows where the power exists far more than existed in the days of kings and presidents, but it's often hidden as to who really is exercising that power. Let me explain. On Inauguration Day on January 20th this year, President Obama took the oath of office. Of all the cabinet ministers and Senate and Congress and Supreme Court that were there on the lawns of the Capitol, there was one cabinet minister that was not there. This individual was Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense. He was not there because he was in an underground military government base in Virginia, that he was the designated alternative president of the United States if there was a disaster of a terrorist weapon or an attack by a foreign nation that wiped out Congress and the president, the cabinet, as well as the Supreme Court. They have developed over the last number of years, and they had to do this after the development of weapons of mass destruction, such as nuclear, biological, and chemical. They had to conceive of the possibility, horrible as it is, that it would be possible at one stroke for an enemy nation or even terrorist to wipe out the government of the United States or my country, Canada, or Britain, France, etc. So governments throughout the Western world and also in the other parts of the world have developed what is called continuity of government programs. These programs involve people like the ex-former members of cabinet, the Henry Kissinger types of people, together with bureaucrats that, you know, 10 years ago ruled Commerce, Treasury, Department of Defense, people of vast experience and tremendous contacts. These people have been adopted by the government and paid to run a shadow government in underground bases throughout the United States, Canada, Britain, France, etc., so that if the worst should ever happen, that instead of being leaderless with the neck of the chicken cut off by a terrorist or a foreign nation attack, these people, without a breath, could instantly take over the military, Federal Emergency Management Agency, Homeland Security, all of the things that are necessary. One of the interesting things I discovered and documented, and by the way, Noah, this is really well documented in the book, Federal Emergency Management Agency receives $20 to $30 billion a year under Homeland Security now. And a lot of people were just stunned by the disaster that took place after Hurricane Rita and Katrina, that they didn't seem to have their act together to help the New Orleans population. But what I discovered in document is that 96% of the budget of the Federal Emergency Management Agency is not devoted to recovery from natural disasters like hurricane and flood, but rather for continuity of government. They have developed bases throughout the United States underground that are capable, with vast supplies of food, of bureaucrats from the former stage of government who are really running a parallel system that watches everything and is ready at a moment's notice in a national disaster to step up and keep the government and national defense and all the other functions of government going. And this is true of all governments throughout the world, both those in Russia and China as well as in the Western world. This is part of the shadow government. That's one part. The second part is this. For the first time in history, there are many, many people, and I do not suggest they're evil. I'm suggesting that they, as a result of their training and thinking, believe that the nation state is a thing of the past. Since around the 1600s, there has been a concept of sovereign government known as the Treaty of Westphalia. And that was a system in which a king or president or legislature was responsible for everything that happened in a nation state, and that no other nation had any right to interfere as long as they weren't going to war with their neighbor. But that's all changed, and we see the United Nations and various statements coming out of the U.S. and other governments saying that if a country like Somalia, Sudan, is falling apart, a failed state as they call it, that the other nations of the world have the legal right now, under the new thinking of the United Nations, to basically invade them, change their government, try and step in, help their people, stop a genocide. And while this is very understandable, it is a massive change that is unprecedented in human history. And what these people believe is that as long as there are individual nation states, now over 200, and as long as many of them have weapons of mass destruction, like nuclear, biological, and chemical, that inevitably, based on human history and human nature, there will be a Third World War in which these weapons will inevitably be used, and this will result in annihilation of most, if not all, of humanity. Believing this, these people have joined together in groups that are very quiet, very private, involving the most powerful, wealthy, often former members of the legislature, as well as former presidents and prime ministers, and they believe the only hope for mankind, and they're genuine in their thinking, they believe the only hope is a global government which would thereby end national war, one nation after another. But what this will involve is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, that in the last days there will be a global government under the control of a world dictator, which the Bible calls the Antichrist.
Noah Hutchings is visiting with Dr. Grant Jeffrey on Southwest Radio Ministries' Your Watchman on the Wall program, and they'll be back in just a moment with much more from Brother Grant's new book, Shadow Government. You'll definitely want a copy of the intriguing book, and here's how to get it. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. One copy will be sent in appreciation of your contribution of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. Call, write, or go online for your copy of Shadow Government. Here again is Brother Hutchings and his guest, Dr. Grant Jeffrey.
Concerning what you have mentioned, you know, about preparation for disaster on a worldwide scale, you know, that's one of the major signs that Jesus gave concerning his second return, that men's hearts would be failing them for fear for looking after those things coming upon the earth. And as far as I know, this is the first time in this generation that has ever happened before on a worldwide scale.
Absolutely. And what's happened is because these thoughts, these preparations, were in many ways against the constitution of a country like the United States or Canada, Britain, France, what has happened is these things have been done underneath the radar screen. For example, in Britain or Canada or any of the parliamentary governments like Australia, New Zealand, etc., there are what we call orders in council. These are secret declarations by the prime minister of that country that take the force of law, that are not voted on by parliament, are not publicized, but give the prime minister and the privy council, his own private counsel, an ability to seize control of railways and transportation, land, food, financial institutions. In the United States, there are what is called executive orders. Now, there's no mention of such a thing in the Constitution of the United States. But since about World War I, all of the presidents have created these executive orders, which literally give the president and his cabinet the ability to, without reference to Congress, to literally seize control of all the mechanisms of government, of property, of even the population to use as labor under the control of the president and the Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which is now part of Homeland Security, have the ability legally, at the stroke of a pen by a president, whether Bush in the past or now President Obama or some president in the future, if they perceive, and this is the amazing thing, Noah, it's their perception, if they perceive that there is a national emergency, whether military, terrorist, financial, or otherwise, they can, at the stroke of a pen, suspend Congress, that Congress cannot even vote on this for 6 months according to those rules, the executive orders, which I document, as you've seen in my book, and that in what they perceive to be a national emergency, that all of these controls over transportation, over labor, over the military, over food, all of these can be seized under the control of the president and delegated to Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, these were not done for an evil purpose. They were done to say, you know, if we lose Washington and we've lost Congress and there's no way to have a quick election to replace them, how do you run government? Well, the answer was the president obviously will be protected, and with these continuity of government operations, we'll have a number of experienced executives and cabinet members, members of Senate and Congress from past administrations who are loyal to America, who will have the experience and the knowledge to basically step in and preserve and protect the people of America. You can understand the logic of this, and I'm not in any way suggestion that those who created these legal institutions and the continuity of government have an illegal or an immoral intent. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm saying that in a world of weapons of mass destruction and of terrorists who might very well someday have a thermonuclear weapon that they could bring into the United States, then government would be responsible if they didn't plan for such a disastrous situation. And they have planned. My government in Canada, Britain, France, Germany, all of them have done so. But the danger is, if you put that capability, which is there at the stroke of a pen, in the hands of people, many of whom already believe that the nation state is obsolete, that it's impossible to continue individual nations because of the danger of conflict and the use of weapons of mass destruction. Many of these people have joined in organizations called the Bilderbergers, an elite group of about 105 individuals that meet yearly, and they are among the most wealthy and powerful people in the world who are out of government, people that used to be in government that are not in government at the moment. They believe that world government is inevitable and essential to preserve the world for economic reasons as well as national security.
I certainly would encourage our listeners to get a copy of this book. I've never seen a book that handled this subject so thoroughly, comprehensively, and meticulously to join all the dots together. And I think you're really going to like this book as much as I do, and I would certainly encourage you to get a copy, and Jerry's going to come and tell you how to get one, and I would encourage you to get several copies. I think you ought to give a copy to your pastor. I think your pastor would probably learn a few things by reading this book. But Brother Grant will be back with us tomorrow, and you be listening. Be sure and take down our telephone number and call, and you can order on our web or through the mail. Brother Grant, thank you, and you'll be back with us tomorrow.
Thanks for the opportunity.
The number to call for your copy of Shadow Government is 1-800-652-1144. If you prefer the mail, the address to write is Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the website at swrc.com. One copy of the 227-page book will be sent for an offering of $20 in the United States, $22 in Canada. If you want more than one copy, which we highly recommend, call for the gift amount based upon the number you need. The subtitle of the book is How the Secret Global Elite is Using Surveillance Against You. We're being watched without our knowledge or consent. But who's watching the watchers? Read all about it in Dr. Grant Jeffries' intriguing book, Shadow Government. To get the book, the programs, or both, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. This program is on this station by your tax-deductible contributions. Would you please let us know the call letters of this station when you call, write, or go online? Stay tuned for a Bible in the News report over many of these stations, and be here tomorrow at this time for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. Since the passage of Roe v. Wade in 1973, millions of babies have been aborted. As a matter of fact, according to the website abortionno.org, each day 3,700 are murdered, and 52% of those having abortions are women younger than 25 years of age. But there is good news on the horizon. A recent news story posted on the internet indicated that support for abortion rights in the United States has dropped this year, We're quoting from Newsmax.com, October 2, 2009. Quote, "Support for abortion rights has slipped in America this year and now barely edged opposition, while the issue's importance has fallen, according to a new survey released Thursday, October 1st. Barack Obama's election as president may have contributed to both trends. It has reassured Democrats that abortion rights are secure." The findings by the nonpartisan Pew Research Center come as the polarizing issue has been injected into the debate around reforming health care, which is Obama's top domestic priority. In polls in 2007 and 2008, supporters of legal abortion clearly outnumbered opponents. Now there have been modest increases in the numbers who favor reducing abortions or making them harder to obtain, the organization said. In 2007 and 2008, Pew found that supporters of abortion rights outnumbered those saying it should be illegal in most or all cases by 54% to 40%. This year, two surveys of 5,500 adults found 47% supporting legal abortion, with 44% opposed. Obama is a strong supporter of abortion rights. The pattern of changes suggests that the election of a pro-choice Democrat for president may be a contributing factor, the polling organization said. The poll found that only 15% of respondents thought abortion was a critical issue, down from 28% in 2006. Among liberal Democrats, only 8% viewed it as critical, down from 34% in 2006. Even among conservative Republicans, this number has dropped to 26% from 35%. The importance of social issues in voters' minds normally falls during economic hard times, close quotes. While the news is encouraging that the numbers of those opposed and for abortion are getting close to even, the idea that abortion is not a critical issue is still disturbing. Christians generally hold to a sanctity of life view, which should make abortion a key issue when selecting politicians for public office. Being made in the image of God is generally the reason believers see life as precious and worth saving. God's Word affirms humans being made in His image. We read, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." That's Genesis 1, verse 26. That's today's Bible in the News report. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly Bible in the News question and answer publication, call 1-800-652-1144. Or you may visit the website at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program when once again we bring you either a Bible in the News report or a question and answer.